Welcome to 9to5 Mac Daily for June 8th, 2023. I'm your host today, Zach Hall, joined by my happy hour colleague, Benjamin Mayo. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Not bad. We've got, let's talk about betas. So we've got iOS 17 and iPadOS 17, macOS Sonoma, watchOS 10, tvOS 17, plus some stuff for AirPods and HomePods. What betas are you running so far?
Yeah, I've got...
Assuming you are...
Yeah. I got iPhone, watch, and TV. That's what I've got at the moment. And I would say for beta ones, they're pretty buggy. Like, there's a fair amount of crashes everywhere, and I'm getting quite a lot of battery drain. I don't know if you're having this, but, like, my watch randomly dies before the end of the day. My phone battery life is about half what it normally is, I'd say, and it gets hot to the touch quite a lot. So, you know, I'm feeling the beta one strain, but... you know, that's what that comes with the territory. Feature wise, I've been pretty happy with it. There's some nice little things in there, you know, like the autocorrect on the keyboard's very cool on the iPhone. The redesign of watchOS is really, really nice in a lot of regards. And even on like the Apple TV, even something as simple as the fact that now you get six icons rather than five per row, it's just like makes it all the better, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know that about the tvOS until you told me, and I was like, I was already going to install it, but like, I wanted to and did. For me, I'm not having a hard time on any of the betas. Not to say that like everyone should go and do it, because obviously, as you heard, like experiences differ. Today's just the first day I'm home from traveling, so I haven't had a full 24 hours where I'm like doing normal things. But I would say that while traveling, I tend to use devices more than when I'm at home, and I was able to get by with no issue. Although I also had to do that, like I intentionally charged because I would do that anyway when I had the chance while I'm traveling. So hard to say on better life for me. I haven't had any like heating issues. The one like actually a bug thing I've noticed on iOS 17 for me is that if you're playing music, the progress bar for now playing can get a little screwy. And so one thing I did was listen to a concert that I hadn't broken up into individual tracks for songs. And so it was like an hour and a half track within music. And it said 2.5 minutes. And if I paused it and then went back to it a few minutes later, it would begin, start over. And the scrubber, you could fast forward, rewind, but the scrubber was just, it just showed 2.5 minutes and it wasn't. So that was a little wonky. In CarPlay, not my CarPlay screen, but my car says that I'm on a phone call with an 800 number, so that's a little wonky. But otherwise, like I'm used to watchOS, especially being like just super harsh at launch. But I've had a good experience there. I'm enjoying on the Apple Watch being able to have humidity as a complication on my watch face from the weather app. On the iPhone, I like the new way of customizing your lock screen clock specifically, rather than just changing the font. You can change the weight of the font with a slider, and I've got mine all the way down to like, remember how thin iOS 7 beta 1 was?
Oh, super thin, yeah.
Yeah, it's like
Johnny Ivan it up.
Yeah, it's that, but it's dynamic because the always on clock is thick, and so it's like pretty cool to see it. Like you raise it and it changes to thin. You turn it off or it goes back to always on and it like shrinks but gets much fatter. So I'm liking that a lot. Is like what I'm looking at on the watch face. I also like the wallpapers a lot. The new like to me the wallpaper for iOS 17 and iPadOS 17 looks like what was in Monterey. Like it's like an extension of that. And so I think that's pretty cool. tvOS 17. Have you had any bugs there? Because like, what is running a pre-release of Apple TV like?
It doesn't seem terrible. I'd say the audio sync with the HomePods is slightly wonky.
Okay.
But not unbelievably so, right? Like manageable. Mm-hmm. And I did have one time, and again, you know, it only came out on Monday, so who knows? Maybe there'll be other show-stopping bugs. But I did have one time yesterday where the remote wouldn't do play or pause.
Okay.
Quite wonky. So you could scrub it, you could scrub and you could do it, but the play or pause button didn't work. And I had to like go out of the video, go back in, and then it started working again.
But I had an issue where the remote on the iPhone app wouldn't work, but that's normal for me. So hard to say.
Nothing's changed there.
Yeah, on macOS Sonoma, like it's not a good idea to add run beta 1, you know, versions of pre-release software on all your devices. In my case, like I don't have extra devices to just throw this on, and I also want to use it day-to-day to write about, so it's like an edge case, but it's a pretty limited one. But I found like even being away from home and like not being able to, you know, revert back if I need to in a hurry, I haven't had issues. So, you know, maybe on a laptop battery life is not what it normally is as well. But I've found like these to be especially solid. Not to say that as encouragement to go and download them if you're on the fence yet, but just at least for what the experience has been for me so far, it's been pretty good. And then on the iPad, I'm really enjoying the health app as a thing. The lock screen complicates widgets are there now, so I've been playing around with that. It's kind of like long over, you know, it's always a year behind on the iPhone, and so that came. And that's really like a lot of it is you got to remember what features are new and like go discover them, because just using your phone day to day or your iPad or your Mac is like it's not changed in a major way.
So it's a lot of little things, right?
Yep. We didn't mention this on Happy Hour that we recorded this week, but CrossFaded Music and Apple Music is there. You know,
and if currently if you turn it on, it makes the settings app crash.
That's true. That's why I haven't tried it. That's why I haven't tried it. So there's another bug.
I have successfully made my settings apps crash, but I do have CrossFade, but I can't turn it off now because you can't get back to the settings page to turn it off. But it does work.
Yeah. Cool. Because I was trying it on the plane and it was just crashing settings. I'm not sure if it went on or off, but. CrossFade, you know, it blends the end of a song with the beginning of the next one, so you've got continuous playback without any gaps. Not great for like, you know, when songs on albums don't like are meant to go together, but in a lot of cases I really like that, especially for like shuffling music. iPod has had it, Mac has had it, Android, Apple Music has had it, so finally on the iPhone and the iPad for that matter, because it's you know, iOS anyway.
We are sponsored this week by Mozl. Managing Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult, and Mozl makes it easy. As the leader in modern mobile device management and security for Apple in the enterprise, Mozl offers solutions for every stage of your business. Just starting out, try Mozl Business free and receive the complete mobile device management feature set for Mozl Premium for up to 30 devices at no charge. Wherever you are in your Apple device journey, Mozl is there to support you. With a focus on usability, automation, and the best support on the market, Mozl delivers a new approach to Apple device management that is more powerful, efficient, and affordable than legacy solutions. To learn more, visit business.mozl.com. That's business.mozl.com. My thanks to Mozl for their support of 9to5Mac Daily. We are sponsored this week by CleanMyMacX. Junk files, hung processes, and malicious apps can slow down even the latest, most powerful Macs. Maintaining your Apple machine, whether old or new, is essential for smooth macOS performance. CleanMyMacX is an all-in-one Mac maintenance tool that takes care of old junk, faulty apps, and malware in an efficient, aesthetically pleasing, and hassle-free way. You can run CleanMyMacX to gear your Mac up for the groundbreaking additions announced this year at WWDC and macOS Sonoma. You can get 5% off your CleanMyMac purchase by hitting the link in the show notes below. My thanks to CleanMyMacX for their support of 9to5Mac Daily.
So all in all, good stuff there. Let's talk about some headlines. And on the Apple Watch Ultra, there is a change to how night mode works on the Wayfinder watch face. That's a watch face unique to the Apple Watch Ultra. And then night mode is only on that Apple Watch face. It only affects that Apple Watch face. It doesn't affect the rest of the user interface. But before, it was on or off. You would spin the digital crown to turn it on or off. And that was it. Now on watchOS 10, spinning the crown summons widgets, the new widgets feature. And so they can't make it do night mode. What they've done instead is they've put night mode into the Apple Watch Face Customizer menu. So instead of spinning the crown, you long press, tap at it, swipe three places over, and then spin the crown to pick which mode you want. That's a bummer if you're looking for a fast way to transition that, you know, in the moment. But I think what's better than that is bad is that they've added automatic night mode. And so automatic night mode for the Wayfinder watch face on the Apple Watch Ultra is based on ambient light sensing. And so if you're in the dark, even if it's daytime, like say you're in a dark room, you're developing film, then it turns on night mode on the watch face. just automatically. And the same thing, like if you're in, you know, you turn off all the lights or something, if you wear your watch for sleep tracking and you look at the watch in the middle of the night and it goes to your watch face, then you've got that automatically there, unless there's, you know, lights around you. So that's very nice.
That's probably how it should have worked from the beginning, but it's nice that it's there now.
Yeah. Also, a new feature in macOS Sonoma is Add to Dock. That's in Safari version 17. This lets you turn websites into basically web apps that have their own windows, have their own app icons launched separately from Safari. This has been a Chrome feature for a while now. And even, I mean, on the iPhone and iPad, you could save web apps to your home screen, and they behave differently than Safari would. So this, on the iPad, people do this with Instagram, and they're pretty happy with how that works. On the Mac, you can now do that with Instagram and many other apps. You and I use it for TweetDeck, for example, which used to have a Mac app that was just a, you know, wrapper on the web. But when it went away, it was not as good as having to use it in a browser tab. But being able to make it its own window again just by clicking File in Safari and saying Add to Dock, it's very useful. And you can also, I haven't tried this or had it work yet, but there is in settings and notification, you can have web apps have their own notifications and you can turn them off if you want to. So seems actually really useful. Lastly, we have some Vision Pro Insight. So this is something that you've heard about. What is this story?
Yeah, so obviously the Apple Vision Pro, still a ways out from release, right? At least 6 or 7 months away, if not longer. And Apple wasn't very forthcoming on Monday with exact technical specs for the device. Like, we don't really know how much storage it's got. They said it runs on an M2 chip with an R1 chip alongside it, and it's got a displays, 4K displays, one for each eye, with a total of over 23 million pixels. But they didn't really give other specs about the displays, like the refresh rate, for instance, or the field of view. Well, in a WWDC session video, they do actually shine some light on the refresh rate, at least. So we know now that by default, the device runs at 90 hertz refresh rate. So if you recall, you know, standard iPhones were 60 hertz, promotion iPhones ramp up to 120 hertz. So this is like somewhere in the middle. Obviously, because it's an all-encompassing experience, being running at 90 hertz compared to 120 is probably okay, because you don't have, like, your brain can just assimilate to the everything you're looking at bit running at 90 hertz. Whereas in real life, when you're comparing an iPhone to the rest of the world, the 120 kind of sticks out more. So 90 hertz would be perfectly serviceable. It is on the lower end of VR headsets specs in terms of refresh rate, but immersion in VR is more than just one number, right? Like, it's a combination of factors, and there is no other headset pushing this many pixels, and the combination of that plus a stable 90 hertz with low latency in terms of input should form for a very impressive experience, as we've seen from, you know, the hands-on impressions that have come out so far, including our colleague Chance Miller's. But yeah, just for a stat update, the Vision Pro runs at 90 hertz in the general case. In certain cases, it can go higher. For instance, if you're watching a 24 frame per second video, the Vision Pro will run at 96 hertz, because that's an evenly divisible number of frames. So you don't have to do like black frame insertion or frame jitter. It can just show 24 frames, you know, 5 times a second. But in general, the pass-through, most of the UI interactions will be running at 90 hertz. So that was just something that we learned from one of the WWDC videos.
Cool. Very nice. Do you have any thoughts on this thing on Twitter where people are commenting on the fact that no Apple executives wore Vision Pro?
Wonder if the eyesight feature isn't done yet appropriately, and so they didn't want it to be in a non-controlled environment, because all of the hands-on demos that people got, as well as not being able to take photos or video, the eyesight feature was deactivated. Right. And you can imagine it would look pretty awkward if, like, Tim Cook walked out on stage and for whatever reason the eyesight feature bugged out. And, you know, like, that's such a memeable screenshot if it went wrong. Mm-hmm. So if you look at, like, the video, there was no case where the headset was actually demoed outside of the... Obviously, it was all a pre-recorded video, but I mean, like, they didn't have it on anyone's, like, person who was just, like, presenting or narrating. Yeah. It was only in the, like, pre-recorded set videos, right? So where they can, you know, take it again if the eyesight is disabled or composite in or something. So that's my theory on why they didn't do that, because they're just not happy with the final fit and finish on that feature yet. And that's literally what you see on the outside facing of the device. So rather than risk it, they just haven't shown it off. I'm sure by the time this thing ships in 9 months' time, there'll be plenty of times when you see executives wearing it.
Yeah. Did you watch the ABC News Good Morning America, Robin Roberts, her hands-on with the headset?
Yes. She's the only person who's allowed to take video of the hands-on.
Yeah. And that's eyesight
is deactivated. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Which I wondered then if it were only deactivated because does it work out of the box or does it require you to do the same thing that it takes to create a persona, which is your digital version of yourself?
That's the thing I'm not clear on. Is it a video of your eyes or is it a rendering of a 3D persona and it just like eye tracks the motion back onto the rendered video? I haven't got a firm answer on that. I think it's a rendering.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which in that case, like even if it were up and running, that may be for her try on experience, like people didn't create personas for the try on experience. And then, so it wouldn't reflect
exactly
back on there.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. At any rate, better than the googly eyes idea. Like it could have been really wonky. And so it does, it's kind of, eyesight looks like, you know, even if you think it looks weird, like it doesn't look unprofessional or silly.
Yeah.
I'd say. Yeah.
Yeah, some shots it looks perfectly fine. Other shots it does look a bit weird, but it's so hard to tell from the photos alone. Because especially, remember, the eyesight display is lenticular, so depending which angle you look at it, you're actually getting a slightly different angle of rendering of the eyes.
Right.
So that effect will... you'll never really be able to perceive that effect properly until you're there in person looking at it. So
so
much of this headset is you have to see it in person to really get a gist of what's going on.
Sure, yep. All right, that is 9 to 5 Mac Daily for June 8th, 2023. Stay tuned for a new episode tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.